Good morning again, and thank you for being with us as we gather together on this Sunday in the season post-Epiphany, but not quite yet to the season of Lent. You know, as we go through the scripture passages for the weeks that are leading up to Lent, there's a theme, and part of the theme is the notion that going to be a Christian, being a Christian, isn't something that happens in one moment, but it's something that happens over the span of a person's life. That it's something that happens as a person is progressing, and that while there is a definitive beginning, there's a lot of space in between that we have to fill up being Christians, living as Christians. And one of the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach here on this particular Sunday, as we read through the gospel passage for this sermon, in this time, is that Jesus is giving a sermon to this group of people who have come out seeking wisdom. They've come out seeking understanding, and most important of all, they want to know what it is that Jesus is teaching them to get closer to God, to be more part of God's kingdom, and of course, how does one actually achieve salvation? Now, this might mean something slightly different than what Jesus was going to eventually mean for it, because of course the salvation that Christ accomplishes us on the cross is a far, far greater thing than what the people came out to Jesus to hear him preach about. They were thinking about something smaller. They were thinking about the fact that as Jews, as people of God's covenant, they were already a part of God's kingdom. They just wanted to know what they had to do to get on God's good side. What do we have to do to make God like us better? And if God likes us better, then God will treat us better, and we will be fortunate. We will be blessed. Jesus takes that expectation that they've come to him with, and he flips it upside down. And he begins teaching them this particular lesson. And I find myself trying to teach this exact same lesson to my kids. Because as we go through life, there's a very important thing that Jesus is trying to teach them that I think as parents, we hope our children understand. And it's very, very clear when Jesus gets to the part where he says, blessed are you when. And he specifically says, blessed are you when people talk bad about you. People dislike you. People put you down. Because this is what they did to the prophets who came before you. And then he goes on to say, woe to those whom the world says nice things about. Woe to those whom the world respects. Woe to those whom the world loves, because the people said the same thing about the false prophets. So much better it is that Jesus is saying that you should be disliked, but for a specific reason. And one of the things that I've often tried to get across to my kids, and really in many, many sermons that I've preached, is that in life, sometimes it's better, far, far better, to be disliked for all the right reasons than to be loved for all the wrong reasons. And I think as human beings, we all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be a part of whatever it is that's happening in the world in a way that the world looks at us with approbation. Because none of us want to feel like we are disliked, disrespected, unimportant, or at least treated that way. Jesus, though, says that's actually a marvelous thing. It's marvelous when the people who have the wrong perspective on life look at you and don't like you. Because it means you're doing something right. And that's so important that we understand as Christians that being loved is not our job. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say, go forth and be loved. And why does it never say, go forth and be loved? Well, the answer is very simple, because that, as far as God's concerned, was already handled. You've already been loved. The love that you might be waiting for is a love that's already been given. It was given by Jesus Christ on the cross. God's ultimate love for humanity is designed to be sufficient to all of our needs. That if we know that God Almighty, the God of the universe, loves us more than anything else, that love is to fill our lives in a way that leaves no space for need. Now, we may enjoy being loved by others. We may feel joy at being loved by others. But it doesn't need to be that deep, nagging hole in our heart where we just have to have somebody approve of us. You see, that hole in our heart is simply a place that God puts his love. And that's where it belongs, in our hearts. And when we are filled with God's love, we can receive love without it being corrupted by our need and corrupted by our greed for love and approbation. And in the same way, we understand that some love that the world would give us isn't love that we want at all because it comes from a wrong place. We understand that sometimes being loved and accepted means that we've chosen to do the wrong things because the people who are loving and accepting us are wrong. And they love and accept us because we're wrong like they are. Jesus says, it's so much better that you are not spoken well of by those who are evil. It's better to be hated for all the right reasons than loved for all the wrong reasons. And here is where we as human beings can fall down and probably make a horrible mess of it. And that is, how do we figure out which people are the right people to love us and which people are the right people to hate us? How do we know when we are doing right? And how do we know which of the people we ought to be pleasing? Well, that's the first thing God says. Don't worry about pleasing people. He says, blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake. See, Christ understands that as long as we're worrying about which are the people that we ought to please, we're always going to pick wrong. Because even when we pick the most virtuous of people, those people aren't perfect. Even when we pick people in our lives that we love, people in our lives that matter to us, people in our lives that are a part of our lives, if we pick those people as our models, as our goals for being approved by that person, that other person is still just a human being. They may fail us. They probably will because they're humans. We do that all the time. God says instead, set your sights on God's approval. What does it take to be approved of by God? Simple faith. Believe in Jesus Christ. Listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Do you want to know what's right or wrong? Go to the scriptures and study them. Do you want to understand what is acceptable and unacceptable? Ask what has God said is acceptable and unacceptable. The world, if we ask the world what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is unacceptable, that's a moving target. We're never going to be able to hit that target. We will feel absolutely oppressed by this world's nonstop changing if that is the standard by which we judge righteousness. Because that righteousness slips all over the place, never stays in the same place for more than a few days, few weeks, few years if you're lucky. What is right in the world's eyes today will be wrong in the world's eyes tomorrow. What is right in the world's eyes is never actually what righteousness is built on. It's what's right in God's eyes. When we care first, middle, and last about whether or not our lives are approvable by God, knowing that we've already been forgiven by God of all of our sins, so there's not a shame-based motivation to be right. We've already been forgiven. There's a love-based motivation to be righteous because our God who loves us, whom we love, has called us to be as he is. When we focus on that, when that is our reason for being, and that is our understanding of right and wrong, then the world that is evil may hate us. The world that is good may love us. And whether the world that is good loves us or whether the world that is evil hates us is irrelevant. What matters is that we are honoring God's word, praising our Lord in heaven, and serving Jesus Christ. Jesus says, blessed are you when you are reviled for my name's sake, because the world does not recognize Christ as Lord, and we do. So when the world reviles us for Christ's name's sake, it's reviling us because we're lifting up Jesus Christ as our Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that's hated is righteous. You can just be awful and be hated. It comes down to the word for my name's sake. See, when the world loves us because we are disobeying God, we receive no blessings. When the world hates us because we are obeying God, we receive blessings, but not because we're hated, but because we're obeying God. So I say to you all this Sunday, as you read through today's scripture passage, ask yourself, whose approval do you care most about? Do you care most that you fit in with the world? Do you care most that you fit in with your family? Do you care most that you fit in with culture? Or do you care most that you fit in the kingdom of God? Because blessed are those who put the kingdom first. Amen.